The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Gift of the Fear of the Lord.
First of all, a brief comment. We have less than a full day to finish the retreat. Be sure you get the confession, aren't we? My fellow sinners. And I understand that we have quite a few questions for tonight, but don't hesitate to add more. Our present meditation will be on the seventh of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the fear of the Lord. The Latin name is Timor Domini. As we've said before, the gift of the fear of the Lord is normally placed first among the gifts because it is the foundation for the other gifts. Unless we have the fear of the Lord, we do not really have the practice. We do not really have or practice the other six gifts. The Church tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, even as the fear of the Lord is the foundation of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So wisdom is a combination of these gifts. And we begin to grow and develop our gift of wisdom in the measure that we practice and live out the fear of the Lord. Once the existence of God is recognized, the first logical effect of a believing mind is to fear the Creator, for the obvious reason that instinctively, from infancy, and by the way, before we reach the age of reason, there was a built-in fear of doing wrong. There is, and how sadly well I know, there was a growing tendency in the modern world what shall I say, ignore, disregard, even deny the fear of the Lord. I remember my early days in the priesthood. I was asked to counsel a wife and mother who was going to a psychiatrist to get over her, well, emotional problems. So I went to visit her, and I asked her, what is your psychiatrist telling you? She gave me a book, which she was told to read. The whole book, I'm not exaggerating, from the first to the last page, was to ignore your conscience. And contrary to the fear you have of doing something wrong, well, the first condition for helping that woman was to take that book. forbid her, told her husband, keep your wife away from this psychiatrist. In other words, we may almost ask, who still fears the Lord? There is talk nowadays, I know, in books of piety, books I keep repeating with shining imprimaturs. Love God, love Him, put away all fear of God. There is talk about excessive fear of God. So we are, and I mean this, told by alleged masters of the spiritual life to avoid fear and concentrate on love. But I'm still on the introduction. This is not, I don't say good Christianity. It is not even Christianity. We must both fear God's justice and love God's goodness. As we open this meditation, let's be clear. The same God is both infinite love and infinite justice. Before we go on, let's make sure we know what kind of fear the fear of the Lord is. First of all, there is a natural fear we all have just because we are human beings. Fear is a spontaneous dread of some future evil. I repeat, the spontaneous dread of some future evil. And that basic definition, we first of all, understandably, fear as a child learns very quickly. Fear, well, getting too close to a fire. Fear of getting too close to, well, a water, especially if you cannot swim. We naturally fear that we don't get enough rest. We'll be tired. And I've said how many times by now, I'm in orders to get 6 hours of sleep. You're afraid we don't eat, pardon me, eat enough. I don't see where to starve, but it will not be comfortable. And already from childhood, we know we should fear certain people. The most spontaneous fear of a human being is fear in the body, bodily fear. In fact, this bodily fear we have even in common with the animals. We go one step higher. We are to have fear not only in our bodies, but in our souls. Fear is in the will. The will, spontaneously avoiding certain things which our mind tells the will would be dangerous. we naturally fear to be punished for what we've done wrong. I think I've said this to some of you on one occasion at least. The father of a large family in Virginia. His daughter misbehaved. He spanked her. A very kind person. The daughter told her teacher. The teacher told the school counselor. The school counselor called the police. The police arrested the father. Let's be sure we know there is such a thing, and I'm still on the basic level of human nature. There is justifiable fear. I justify it because there are not just physical, sensibly perceptible things we are to fear. We are to fear especially fear for the good of our souls. In regard to justice is such a crucial attribute that needs to be brought to the surface in our so widely, shall I use the word, bedeviled age. Now, on the level of the spiritual life, there is a fear of God's punishments, which we should all have. Well, let's be clear, that fear of God's punishments can be not only inadequate, can be positively wrong. What are you saying? We ought to serve God not only because we fear His punishments. We teach in theology that one big difference between receiving absolution in the sacrament of confession and being an act in the perfect love of God. It also remits even grave sin. Is that we can receive valid absolution even though I am afraid of God's punishments. But watch it. Even the fear of God's punishments must somehow be related to my love for God. In other words, our faith tells us to avoid sin only because I fear the punishment of God is inadequate. Indeed is wrong. Consequently, when we speak of the fear of the Lord, you're not speaking even of the justifiable fear of God's punishments. I say justifiable, where I fear God's punishments because I believe that He loves me. That God has a right to demand the submission of my will to His divine will. That is a background. Now, if we can ask ourselves always the first question, what is the gift of the fear of the Lord? To explain what the fear of the Lord is, we must first recognize that there is a legitimate fear of God, of God's justice. God is the Lord. And the Lord, he has a right to command. And because he is God, he has a right to punish. And here is the most severe punishment for sin is not the pain, which we call penalty. The most serious punishment from God for sin is the deprivation of grace. Every sin we commit, depending on its gravity, always, that attributes of faith, always deprives us of more or less of the grace we had before we sinned. Consequently, let's be clear. God punishes in two ways. By withdrawing his grace, which as we know, means guilt. We incur guilt because we've lost grace. God, remember, and this is our faith, says the Lord, I love those who love me. Does God love sinners? He does. But he withdraws more or less of his love in the measure of our sins. And the withdrawal of God's love from sinners is the church's definition of guilt. It has nothing, zero to do with how we feel. But secondly, God also punishes our sins by imposing his penalty. And hear it. Imposing an obligation to suffer pain. Please don't forget. Sin and pain go together as cause and effect. It is our faith. Had there been no sin in the world, there would have been no pain. It does not mean, well, this needs to be explained, that those who suffer the most have sinned the most. No, there is such a thing as suffering for the sins of others. And the one who suffers the most, the absolutely sinless Son of God who became man, but notice he suffered and went pain because of sin. Now back to where we are. The fear of the Lord is because a salutary fear. It is a powerful motive for avoiding sin. It is adequate for what we call attrition or sacramental absolution in the sacrament of confession. All we need is what we don't have, hours of time to explain in detail. At the heart of this fear of the Lord, is not fearing God's punishments. I want to repeat, there is a salutary fear of God's punishments. And that, I repeat, is sufficient for obtaining absolution in the sacrament of penance. However, this gift of the Holy Spirit, the Timor Domini, is not the fear of God's punishments. It is the fear of offending a loving God. That's what this gift is all about. The gift of fear is the love of God. So deep, so strong, that the towering fear in our lives should be, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to have this fear, to offend the God who loves us so deeply, so dearly. He died on the cross out of love for us. So you might fear, and now let's be clear, fear to offend him. Take our own lifetime experience. The more deeply we love someone, the more spontaneously we fear to offend the one we love. We have said something that afterwards see to ourselves, how stupid of me. Go back to the person and apologize. And the person may even have forgotten what we said. The most spontaneous response to authentic love is the fear of offending the one we claim to love. And let's be clear, we speak because we are human beings, we have only a human language. We speak of the fear of offending God. We cannot mean the fear of somehow hurting God. Although, hear it, God assumed a human nature so he could experience pain. What God is, God cannot, because he is infinitely perfect and all happy divine being. And this is where, and I could talk now for hours. You see, well, before this meditation is over, but there's one way we are to grow in our loving fear of God. It is meditation on the Passion of Christ. Over the centuries, saints have spent years, like a Saint Paul of the Cross or Saint John of the Cross, years and meditating on the Passion of Christ. God knows how stupid we are, how blind we can be to the consequence of our sin. That is one reason why God became man. So he might be able to show us how deeply God is offended. God became man to experience pain, to teach us how deeply sin offends the infinite God. We are dealing with mystery, and we've said this by now more than once. A mystery, by definition, is something inconceivable before revelation, and incomprehensible after being revealed. You're dealing with mystery, the mystery of sin, the mystery of God conferring on his human creatures. Is it possible conferring on his human creatures the power to say no to the Creator? You don't explain that, you believe it. And the consequence, to use that expression, the consequence on our part when we sin is to offend God. God is God, cannot be hurt. God is God, cannot suffer. God is God, cannot experience pain. That is why I repeat, one of the main reasons God became man is to teach us how deeply offensive sin is to God. Sin is contrary to the will of God. I repeat, you're dealing with mystery. When we sin and offend God, we do not harm God. We do not hurt God. We do not deprive God of something of his divine infinity. And this is the essence of the timor domini, the fear of the Lord. It is such deep love for God that we do not want to do anything which is contrary to his divine will. Now, second area of our reflections, the necessity for having this gift of the Holy Spirit. And I've been saying for the last 3 days, the focus of the spiritual exercises, as conceived by St. Ignatius, is not, I don't say not only, it is not to, well, keep people from losing their souls. Over the years, I have never preached what we call a parish mission. You are wonderful Franciscans who preach missions. Wonderful. But St. Ignatius' focus, and for us the focus of this retreat, is two things. First, an assumption. The assumption is that the ones who are making the spiritual exercises are already sincerely striving to avoid sinning, especially sinning gravely. That's the assumption. Well, then secondly, the purpose of an Ignatian retreat is to inspire people to sanctity. And as I've said over the years, the heart of sanctity is in one word, more. To do more than we've ever done before in our lives. To give up more than we've ever given up in all our lives until now. Which consists in two words, generosity and giving, and sacrifice in giving up. Either you are inspired, dear Lord, not by this sinner, but by Jesus Christ, through the Spirit that dwells in you. Here you are inspired to be more generous with God and more sacrificing. I repeat, I'm wasting your time. We are here meditating on how we can do more for God than we are obliged to do. Why? In order that we might be more effective instruments of His grace to others.